Our program today, we are visiting with Kyle Neuendorf. Kyle is the naturalist, Boone County naturalist, and thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
We've, obviously the big thing that I posted and let people know about was you went out and you were doing a bee survey. Okay, tell me a little bit about this. This is a survey. Do you volunteer to do these things? How do you get involved
with it? So it's called the Iowa Bumblebee Atlas Survey. Iowa started it last year for the first time. It actually started in the North Pacific West. I believe in 2018 is where it kind of started, and now it's grown to 20 states. Now there's over 4,000 participants. Here in Iowa, we have about 30 participants, and I've been one of them. I haven't gotten to see this next year's results, but I'm sure it's grown. But the idea is to just figure out what's going on with our bumblebees. What is, you know, just the species look like in themselves, clearly like the one I found recently. And then how can we approach protecting them and conserving them? And then also, like we're doing today, advocating for them to say, you know, hey, like these are important. And it's important to conservation, important to farmers. So that's why I'm figured, hey, I'll kind of send the info your way and we can talk about a little bit to the good people of Boone County. So
we know, okay, it was the rusty patched bumblebee.
Yep. Or some people might refer to it as Bombus affinius. So as for the scientific name, you don't have to remember that part, but it's a very unique bee. It is considered an endangered species, was put on the list in 2017, and was the very first bee to be put on that list.
And the one thing I can, I recall was a few years ago, we did have another conservation person that had come across it and once again covered Boone, Story counties. We've had other individual reports that they've had, like over in Story County. But this one, were you doing this up at Don Williams? Where were you?
I think I can say...
Or is it a secret place?
Well, I think by now, because it's been put onto the Iowa Bumblebee Atlas website, and I don't know if I'll have to check if there's an exact pin, but it will say Don Williams Park. So right now, which we'll get into, I guess, a little bit later with an event, but right now we've been doing some prairie studies, and sometimes you find a lot of these bees, like here randomly in Boone, we've been finding them, you know, obviously in people's native landscapes or even in their gardens. But in this particular one, maybe it's saying a little bit of, hey, this is kind of an important place, might be kind of a good pristine area to where this might be a suitable habitat for this bee to live there, you know, for as long as it can.
Sure.
Or maybe just happened, was passing through. But I'm on year two of doing these studies. And that day I was like, you know, I'm getting a little tired of the same old ones.
Same old bee.
Because after you catch the 20th two-spotted bumblebee or the 30th brown-belted bumblebee, you get a little bit more selective. one of them we caught last year was the American bumblebee, which is of conservation's greatest concern currently. But what I've seen this summer, they look pretty good in our parks. I mean, I can't vouch for the rest of the nation, but to me, I'm at least where I was at, it looked pretty good. So I thought, okay, let's go for those bees. And I had particular ones I looked at with a rusty patch. Clearly has to have a rusty patch on it. You have the head that's black, you have the thorax that kind of has like an umbrella shape to the dot, and then on the abdomen you have there's like 6 to 7 sections depending upon male or female. The female being 6, male being 7. The top two should be yellow, but within that yellow there should be some form of a middle of some brown. Now that can get confused with the brown belted, because brown belted could have brown and black. So what we say is kind of like the sandwich. So the yellows being the two slices of bread, and then the brown part being the meat. So if you see that, then there's a good chance you have a rusty patch bumblebee. Okay. So
get excited, folks. Most people, I mean, there's a bee. And they go running and stuff like that. More often than not, they're not going to really bother you.
These guys are actually pretty pretty tame. I've known some professors when I went to Iowa State University, because I'm an Iowa State alumni. Then she just go up and pet one. Just go up there with her finger and pet it. But the unique part is males don't really have the stingers.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't know that. So I never would attempt it, because sometimes you don't know if it's a male or female unless you look at the leg, you know, if they have the pollen basket, because the males do not, but the females and the queens do. But yeah, they're very, very tame, very big, fuzzy compared to our honeybees. So
earlier this year, and we again did have some recognition at the old former county home, and I know you've been up to take a look at that, but there's a bee hotel up there.
Yeah, I don't remember if it's Scouts or 4-H or somebody did the project up there. Yeah, and we did this big kind of like Boone Forks sign project. So I put in a bunch of signs across the county, and I went up there and got to look at it. But it sounds like they're doing also a prairie restoration up there too. So
that will help that grow, won't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about this. Does just everybody go out and do a survey? Do you get signed up for it again?
Yeah,
you got to have some expertise.
So the unique part about the Bumblebee Atlas is that anybody can sign up. It's free. You just got to go on the bumblebeewatch.com or the Iowa Bumblebee Atlas. I know, I think it was back in May, Iowa DNR was looking for volunteers. So anybody can really do it. The question is depending upon where you can do it. Yeah. So currently right now, after finding this endangered species, nobody in that park can technically catch a bumblebee without having a federal permit. So now I cannot do that study there anymore. My hope is I'll get on that federal permit eventually. But other than Don Williams, we're also doing Grants Woods Park as well. But yeah, within that, you just sign up for it. They'll tell you the training days. Most of it's virtual, but what they'll do is, if you want to do a workshop day, which I did mine over at McFarland and Ames. But they moved the location so many times because they're trying to reach their audience in different counties that haven't had a chance to do it yet. So just stay on track with that. I'm sure, I think it's like around February, March, they start to release those dates. So and it's pretty easy.
I know we've been talking about the Rusty Patch Bumblebee and the surveys that you've been doing there. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I tell people, if they ever want to know anything about monarchs, find Kyle. He's the monarch man.
Sure.
So, that is going to be probably your next big activity coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. So this will be, about 3 years, I think. I can't remember. Monarch Spectacular. It's hard to come up with a good name, and a lot of people stole a lot of good ones. But I thought it was a unique one because monarchs are spectacular, and to me, they're a very unique species. And the hope is, by doing Monarch Spectacular, which will be, I think I put Tuesday on the 9th at 4:30 over at Don Williams Park, is to just go and say, hey, like, how many do we have in our park? And the hope is, we'll go out, we'll put a tag on them. My first time doing it was very interesting. I had a few people thought I was putting ankle bracelets on them and caging them up and everything. I'm like, no. It's just as simple as you were a kid. Go out, you catch one, and the tag has a unique code on it. Lets us know, like, hey, did my monarch make it to Mexico?
Sure.
I mean, they go 2,000, 3,000 miles down there. I wouldn't say the odds are extremely in our favor, but if it does make it down there, that's very unique to let us know, like, hey, that our monarchs are surviving, making it from Boone all the way to Mexico. So
you've been working with a lot of young people, teaching them how to band, or again, let them, I guess that's what you do, is you band them, right?
Kind of, in a way, similar to birds. I tell people the code on it is like a garage sale sticker. Like, it's just a little tiny dinky thing. And like I said, it's nothing that's going to harm them, doesn't affect them in flight. But enough of, that information lets us know where they're coming from. So, and very easy. I mean, last year we had, I think, 35 participants. Okay. And I think when I first started, there was 10. So, and I think we had over 54 monarchs that day, which is actually really good. That was the highest number we had at that park last year. So
it's all part of the monarch migration that goes on.
Yeah. So it's through the Monarch Watch, which is through the University of Kansas. And the idea started, I think it was like 1991 or two or something. And the idea was, where do our monarchs go during this time of year? Like, do they just hibernate, or they go?
Because everybody sees them moving.
Yes. So the idea was, well, let's tag them and then try and, make partners with scientists down in Mexico or anywhere. I think they were going in many different areas just to see, like, hey, like, where are they going? And come find out, they're going to Central Mexico.
Monarch migration is coming up.
Yes.
And on the 9th, we're going to do this, what you call the spectacular.
Yes.
That's what we're calling it this year. But do people need to sign up? Can they just show up? It's going to be out at the Ronald Good Shelter?
Yeah, we'll be over at Ronald Good Shelter at Don Williams Park, 4:30. You just got to show up, and it's completely free. all you have to do is just come out, have, you know, bring your kids, family. We usually give you a net. We'll give you some form of like a system with the stickers. Mm-hmm. We just need to know, you know, the gender, if it's a boy or a girl, which if you didn't know, the boys have spots at the very bottom of the hide wings. Girls do not. But the girls are a little bit brighter, more boldly in the colors, too, when it comes, especially those black veins. But I digress on that. Yes.
We go there.
As you can tell, I'm a naturalist. Yes, I like to talk a lot.
So, and again, it's continuing to grow this program too.
So yes. Yeah. So we have done it down in Swede Point Park also. But I, again, like we were talking before, sometimes I notice my schedule gets extremely busy and I wanted to experiment this year just to see, you know, what would happen just at Don Williams this year. And my hope is, you know, that, you know, the population start to increase again, because we've noticed higher numbers up here than down there the past few years. But maybe when the population increases again, we can start to go back down there and do some stuff.
So I always remember walking in a, like on the golf course and getting up to some of the low trees, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of them take off.
Yeah, I remember when I was
wasn't that really long ago.
No, but same time though, I just remember when I was like in elementary school, you just go out in the summer around this time, there'd just be hundreds of them in your backyard just flying. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. One thing you have done, and you've repeatedly worked with the Erickson Public Library and do their outdoor garden thing there. Mm-hmm. And again, for monarch butterflies, we ended up getting a lot of milkweed.
So Zach Steer, the children's librarian there, kind of approached me. He goes, hey, like, I want to do, like, I think it was like a pollinator program or something. And so me and him really connected a lot. And he was like, hey, I know you're into prairie stuff. What can we do about doing like a native landscape out on the north side of the library? I said, oh, it's fairly easy. We can go do that. So I think we had, gosh, like 20 people show up just to help put in a bunch of, you know, native local, you know, plants that we had gotten that were plugs. So I think we planted like 76 plugs that year. Then we returned back and put 76 more in the next year, and I think I was like, okay, I think that's enough for now. But I noticed this past summer, just walking through, you know, I think it's really showing to people that, hey, this is something that's important, especially important to our native pollinators, and something that anybody can do. And the point of it also was to be able to get to some of our schools. Some of the schools are limited on number of field trips they have every semester, so I don't get to see as many as I would like to probably every semester. So I said, well, if you are in walking distance or you're just looking for something short, you know, that is allowed for you to come down, then we'll do a program. We only have about like four or five teachers that are interested this year. So, and we're calling it a Prairie Planters is what's called.
Okay.
So, so if you're interested, just contact either me or Zach Steer at the library and teachers if you're interested. So,
find out one way or another, which brings up outdoor classroom.
Yes.
Because that's another thing you're involved with.
Oh, yeah.
And we always do fall, spring. What is it, fall? It's fourth graders?
Fall's fourth graders. We go to Swede Point Park. I think in the past few years, I've had like United, Madrid, Ogden, Trinity, Sacred Heart. And then that's over in Madrid. And then in third grade, we see everybody at Don Williams Park. So same amount of kids. I think almost every year we have probably up to close to 250 kids for 2 days, you know, just going out and having fun. And yeah, it's a very good community volunteer project as well, because we have a lot of people in the community that come out and also speak as well, other than just me.
And so, not just you, but we've got snakes, we've got all kinds of
And even Iowa State Extension is a good partner on that too. They're the ones who have probably stuck on my side with it, even when Katie was the naturalist back in the day. So
it's one of those things that has become kind of a regular.
Yeah, it's definitely become a tradition.
As long as Mother Nature cooperates.
So, oh, yes. Yeah. So far, we've only had one rain delay, which then had to go to the fairgrounds, which I think we only saw like a speck of water that day. But better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk, too, a little bit about this is going to be a big one for you guys that you've participated in a variety of ways over the years, National Public Lands Day.
Yes.
But this year, you really have a bigger program coming up, because I'm guessing it was a year or so ago, I think you were out there. They were doing some conservation things, and you had a professor from Drake.
Yes.
Came in, and you showed him this prairie area.
Yeah.
And he just goes, oh, It's a remnant. I mean, untouched.
Yes. So when I first started about 3 years ago, I'll try not to make it too long of a story here, but starting as the naturalist, I just wanted to kind of take a hike in spring. So I decided, hey, I'll go out into, you know, one of our prairie areas. And of course, it's like one of the closest ones to our offices there at Don Williams. And I was like, okay, let's just go take a walk or whatever. Well, I thought, well, it needs a little work, you know, that kind of thing. And about fast forward about 2 months later, I found this rare prairie violet. I was like, well, that's not common. So I started looking around a little bit, finding porcupine grass, creamy gentian. Jim's looking at me like, sure, I might know these. But there are a lot of unique things that you might not find anywhere else other than in maybe a prairie remnant. So I kind of did a little bit of research, and from my connections with the Iowa Prairie Network, I was familiar with Dr. Thomas Rosberg. He's the Drake University Ecologist Professor down in Des Moines. And we met at Iowa Native Prairie Conference over in Dickinson County over at the Iowa Lakeside Lab. And I said, hey, I have an idea of maybe doing, you know, like master conservationist. So we did it. And he goes, well, if it's a remnant, let me know. We'll get working on this and we can do some research on it. I'm like, okay. So I brought him to the park. He only took like five steps, found like the five species that indicates it's a prairie. And he goes, yes, it is a remnant. So I was like, okay, what do we do from there? So we got the funding between Iowa Native Plant Society and the Iowa Prairie Network. And he got to work, and he only has, I think, one more round to go in September, and then we'll know what species are in our parks. And also gives us like an ecological assessment of just like where are they currently standing and how do we take care of them. So the hope with the National Public Lands Day is to get people involved to come out, because it's a very traditional thing, even with the national parks, but Don Williams is a public land. So not only recreation, but also the conservation side of things too. So we're inviting the public to come out for an open house, show them the prairie areas. We're going to do actually a very unique thing, because we want to be sure that people know this is a remnant, because a lot of people just drive by and like, no, it's just prairie, whatever. We're going to put a sign out that will unveil the new name of the remnant, and also in recognition to the people who helped us do this research. So, and on top of that, Dr. Thomas Rosberg will do his presentation, and we'll do a root beer float party.
All right.
As a little fun treat for the people that came out. But the other idea, too, is to do a seed harvest and maybe a little bit of some, you know, woody invasive species control, which is just probably a pair of loppers, whatever. We might have to sign some liability waivers probably. Yeah. But long story short, that's the point of a National Public Lands Day, is to do some volunteer work in your local, you know, public lands.
And you do have areas where you've had some of these invasive species working their way in.
Yes,
having hiked a couple of those trails.
They're definitely taking over. Sadly, it's kind of been a little bit of the norm of Iowa. Some people are trying, but it's just, you know, going to take a little bit of effort to get rid of it. I think we have a good shot of probably doing it, but I wouldn't say it would be within my lifetime. But same time, I think we can actually do a lot of good here in the next few years of trying to make that a little bit more possible.
Yeah, so. I think, as I recall, I believe one of the regulars down at the Ledges is we're going to do a little invasive species control, too.
Yeah, so. Like I said, spreading the love kind of day for conservation. So.
This is on, the 27th?
27th, yep.
27th. And so do you recall the time frame on all of this? Afternoon,
we're thinking
evening?
From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. I'm still trying to come up with a little bit of a schedule just to get us moving forward. But my big idea is, you know, in the morning we'll do maybe about an hour worth of a hike, then do about an hour worth of the seed harvesting and the invasive species control. And then the last hour we'll have Tom do his presentation. So, and that'll be actually at the lodge by the lake. I didn't get to the Ronald Good shelter right away. So, as long as we have a place to sit in a little bit, AC. I doubt it's going to be too hot in September, but you never know. It's been a weird year.
And just again, for those that don't know, remnant area is pristine. It has not been touched, really.
Well, it depends upon how you look at it. Yeah. Depending upon, it could be an area that maybe you never knew was even in like your agricultural field. It might be something that maybe you never thought of planting, but you're like, well, it's unplantable if you have tried. In the past, Don Williams was pastured and was farmed, but our current you know, sort of theory is that maybe they didn't do a very good job, or maybe the technology wasn't all that great back in the day, because we don't have very many records showing that area was planted with native plants. So how are all these rare things just magically appearing? So that's what we're kind of currently sitting on with this. So
part of his study will tell
us this. Yes, and there's even some spots that were never touched that have pretty high pristine species of plants that you really can't find really anywhere, like else in Iowa, which is really cool. So
harvesting those seeds,
that might be the difficult part. Some of them are even like animals, some of them are protected, so you gotta be a little cautious of them.
Well, again, those are just some of the things that are coming up. And again, for people that want to find out, again, more about what's happening, really, the Conservation Board Facebook page, our Boone County Conservation Facebook page is an easy way. Use that a lot.
Yep, the Facebook page. We also do have the website. I try to keep it up to date when I can on events. But yeah, those are probably our two main spots to go to.
And folks, there's a lot of other things he's been doing. You started this little naturalist program.
Yeah, we started a little naturalist. Kind of gets some of our new generation of kids to be more inspired to love animals and be in the outdoors, other than, you know, having them sit around watching TV and stuff like that. So kind of encourages them. And it's a good partnership with the libraries, too, because during that time, they might not see very many people that come in unless they, you know, have some form of a winter programming that they do. But my other thought of, too, was, and especially from last year, because we did have the zoo help, but I really want to try and get more people out to the parks during the wintertime as well. So I've been incorporating more of the parks now into this program. And so
get them out hiking and doing whatever.
We had we did a dinosaur program last year, and sadly, we got out, competed a bit with Seven Oaks with Santa. Iowa Arboretum had pancakes or something that day.
There's everything
but
going
she
on.
Was there for the T-Rexes, and I stand for it.
Anyway. A lot of there are always a lot of activities, and again, free to the public.
Yes, yeah, most of them are all free to the public. I don't think we've ever charged anybody that I'm aware of, but at least what I know, a lot of people have been happy and enjoying what I've done for the past, hopefully, 3.5 years, and I hope to see more people in the future.
Earlier this year, we tried doing some fishing things, I know.
We actually had a really big turnout for our fishing derby. I tried to do it the same time of the year, early June, and I think that was the most people I've ever had. I think we're up to 2024, and this year we got the bait shop more involved than what we normally do. So we had like a big cash prize. I think whoever was first place, I think, got $100 or something in a trophy, but we also
did
donors.
I don't know if too many caught anything.
Oh, no, we caught a lot, actually. Yeah, somebody caught, I think it was a pound and a half catfish. I mean, we didn't have the largest ones, but that was the biggest one we caught. Right. There's a few times, a few of them were like, if you have something big, bring it to me. The thing is, we're not professional people who have the big live well in the back of their boat where they keep the five, right? But there is one kid, he had a nice crappie. And I thought, oh, yeah, bring that up here. He goes, I don't think it's going to win. No, it would have won something.
It would have won something.
You let it go.
Well, and those are just some of the things that, again, you kind of do. But again, getting the word out to people and letting them know. Come on out.
The one that will be after National Public Lands Day will be Hawk Watch. So that one's kind of a big collaboration with conservation agencies, with Dallas County Conservation, Iowa Wildlife Center, a big Bluestem Audubon Society, Iowa Audubon Society. Yeah, there's a bunch. INHF. Actually, a new one, Iowa Young Birders, is going to be helping us out this year. And we just had a big hike with them recently. So the idea is to get people out on the High Trestle Trail overlook over on the west side of the bridge. And we just look up into the blue sky and see if we can find any hawks, eagles. We had one year an osprey came out and ripped out the guts of a fish. It was really cool. So that was an interesting day. We were looking at this osprey going, oh, that's really neat. And then all of a sudden, all us nature people like, yeah. But then all the bikers like, they weren't as satisfied with the documentary we were watching.
I was going to say, the big thing is High Trestle Trail Bridge, a great opportunity because they tend to come down the river valley.
Oh, yes, especially during the fall migration. Even when we're doing the outdoor classroom, we usually have somebody doing like the bird portion of what they teach, and it's like the perfect time for that person because they're seeing like white pelicans come through, the vultures, eagles, hawk species you might not see all the time, like the peregrine falcons. Yeah, whole bunch of fun stuff during that time of the year.
Kyle Neuendorf has been our guest on our program today. He is the naturalist, Boone County naturalist for Boone County Conservation. Recently identified a rusty patch bumblebee at Don Williams. Okay, now you've done it. You put us on the map. Thank you for that, by the way.
Accomplish.
Those are the challenges. But again, a lot of interesting things. That's right here in Boone County.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Again, a lot of programming available. And again, mark your calendars now. Really, the National Public Lands Day is a big one. We want people to come out.
Oh, yes. With. Most definitely.
And if you want to learn how to tag monarch butterfly, the 9th.
Yes.
Ronald Good Shelter, about 4:30 or so in the afternoon, I think.
Yes. Yep. Like we'll go to 4:30, and I usually do maybe about 2-3 hours, give or take. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I just let people hike around, we catch until they're done, and I just say, okay, thanks for coming and tagging a butterfly, and have a good day.
Just get it organized and let them learn.
Oh,
and
yes.
I do remember, you were at the kickoff carnival for the summer reading program at the library, and you get those kids that helped with the planting on the...
I had a bunch of them be like, whoa, that's what that plant was.
Look at what it turned out to be.
And I brought that big blue stem poster, and I said, yeah, this is what's below the soil, and they would stand next to it, and it sits like almost 7 feet tall, and they're like... We didn't know. we didn't know it got this big.
they learn, don't they? And they get excited about it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, Kyle Neuendorf, our guest on the program. Thanks for coming in and joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.